It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 578. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. We also have the wiki, and that is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, links to the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource. I have so much to talk about tonight. More than a jam-packed show. Overwhelming, overflowing. The first thing, a lot of you, and I thank you because I would have never known, because I never Google Mike Tech Show, but last week and all the way up until Tuesday, if you Googled Mike Tech Show, you would see that my site was compromised. It took you to a Viagra online shopping mall, and that redirect was still happening, and I had to take care of a whole bunch of things. I'm gonna reveal how I cleaned it and how I fixed it, but it was two stages. Since I was traveling, I cleaned the base site, but there was still lingering effects, and I was able to take care of that on Tuesday night. That was done. Going to talk about that. My iPhone 6S crashed and burned yesterday, just froze in the middle of a conversation. I'm going to talk about that. What did I do? Lots of lessons there. I have stories from the trenches, lots of tips. I'm going to do a section on Mac because I've been working on some Macs. I'm going to share some great links and some tips. I also have still more Windows 10 tips. And then a utility on browsing history, how you can quickly get a browsing history from a system. I also have a stack of email that I'm going to try to get to. So before we begin, I want to thank Instant House Call for being the sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. It is the incredible remote control software that you need in your toolbox in order to remote into a customer's site and take care of their issues. The unattended mode is phenomenal. Tonight, right after this show, I have a client where the person sitting at the one system is moving to another system because a person's coming back from maternity leave. Tonight, I'm going to remote into both systems at the same time and transfer all the settings. What am I going to use to transfer? Fabs Auto Backup for Tech 6 Pro. Remoting in, Instant House Call on both computers. I don't have to leave this area right now in front of my computer, and I'm going to take care of all that tonight. That's what it's all about. Remotely take care of your clients, and that's what I do. So last week, I received an email saying, Mike, I think your site has been compromised, because when I Google Mike Tech Show and I click on the link from Google, it takes me to a Viagra site. And then all I did was type MikeNation.net directly, and that's what I got. So one of the first things I did, I remembered a utility. This happened to me a couple years ago, and I know exactly how it happened. I did not listen to my own advice. I remember a long time ago, given the advice after my site had the same problem happen, I started a list of 10 things you need to do if you have a WordPress site. Well, I was guilty of one of the biggest sins when you have a WordPress site. and that is failing to do an upgrade. As a matter of fact, I think two updates happened, and I did not update my WordPress to the latest version. Hear me what I say right now. If you have WordPress, back up your site, then go to the dashboard and update to the latest version. Then go to every plugin that you have and update the plugins. This is how my site was penetrated and compromised. So what do we do when that happens? The main site is gotmls, gotmls.net. This is an incredible plugin to get off those maliciously loaded scripts. It's free, but when you use this and it cleans your site, please make a donation. I've now made my second donation. This is a plugin that you easily install and do a full clean, and it found all kinds of infected files on my website. And I let it clean them and then tested that the site worked. Then I cleaned it again. But I must have missed something on the cleaning, because you need to clean the HTML code, the PHPs, and the plugin. It did a great scan, but the scan and cleaning was not deep enough. I cleaned it, and I could type MikeNation.net, and the site came up, and it wasn't compromised. I'm like, oh, cool. But when I went back to Google and did the search, I was still redirected. And I was like, I don't understand. Why am I being redirected? And so I thought, well, maybe Google has to like re-index my site. Let me give it 24 hours. Well, here's the problem. 24 hours from that, I was on an airplane traveling. So I didn't get a chance to really address this over the weekend. And I just figured it would eventually clear out and the Google would take care of itself. No, no. So what we're going to do is we're going to sprinkle some email in here. First thing, to every listener that wrote me about this problem, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate it. And that was Tom Hinkle, Matt, Ron B, Alistair, Roger, two mics. And then this following one, on Tuesday night, I received an email from a regular listener who contributes to the show on a regular basis. His name's Jason Miller. A big personal thank you to Jason, because I wrote him and said, I'm waiting for Google to the cache or the re-indexing. And he said, Mike, I don't think this is a Google error. I think it's a referrer redirect that is still something hidden somewhere. When it sees a referral from Google to your site, it redirects you to the pill site. Check out this link for more details. And that's what led me down the path to do a deeper cleaning. There were still traces of this redirect, and I missed it. And the site is aw-snap.info/articles/redirects.php. I'm going to have this link in the show notes along with the gotmls.net. Two very important links. One, to get the software that's going to clean your system. And two, an explanation of what's happening on Google redirects. Well, guess what? After I did the deeper cleaning and found where these redirects were, including the htaccess file, now, once that was cleaned, all is better. The redirects weren't happening. Everything's good, happy, happy. So to everybody, first big lesson there, at the least, update your WordPress, update your plugins, lock down everything with a secure password. But that's not how they got in. I have secure passwords. I have the permissions and everything set perfectly. It's backdoors and holes found in legacy versions of WordPress and legacy versions of plugins, that if you don't update it, this is how it enters. A big thank you to all of you for looking out for me and the site and telling me when there's problems. And that's how I get them fixed. So thank you, thank you. Yesterday, in the middle of a conversation with a client, my iPhone 6 just died. So I thought, well, I'm in the car, so I pulled over, and I figured, well, it must have just shut off accidentally or something happened. So I'm holding the home button and the power button. I'm trying to cycle it. No. I knew there was 75% power, so I plugged it into my iPhone cable, connected in my car to the USB port. No. I was really, really shocked that I couldn't reboot the phone. I couldn't do anything. It was dead. Now, this is where it's great to have a backup phone. I'm on the AT&T Next plan that guarantees me a new phone every year. The issue is, it's sort of like I'm leasing the phone. I'm paying a monthly fee for the rest of my life, and I'll never own the phone. Every year, I will turn the phone in, and I will get a new phone the day it comes out. Or I'll just order it online, get the new phone, ship the old one back. Great. To me, that was the best choice because I need a new phone every year. I must be on the bleeding edge of Apple products for clients that I have, especially the CEOs, presidents, and owners of most of my retainer clients live in an Apple ecosystem at home that I have to support. So I have to be ahead of the game. Now, on my way home, I stopped by the AT&T store. Hey, I'm an AT&T customer for over a decade, maybe two decades. Whenever the first cell phone came out, I've been an AT&T customer. There's five phones on my plan. I go into the store, show them my bricked 6S, and they said, yep, this doesn't work. You got to go to Apple. I was like, you're kidding. I pay $9.99 a month for the protection for this. They said, no. You got to lose the phone or it's got to be broken or destroyed. And then you file a claim and then you have to pay the deductible. And then in a few days, you'll get the phone. So I said, you're telling me if I walk out the store, throw this away, then come back in, you'll be able to take care of me. And she said, yes, but you're going to have to pay the deductible and you're going to have to wait. She says, I believe this phone's under warranty. So if you take it to a Apple store, they should take care of it under warranty. I understood the answer, but I wasn't happy with the answer, obviously. Then I go home and I fire up and I have to charge it, my iPhone 5. This is the last phone that I purely owned because every phone after that is on the next plan. So it was the 6, the 6S. When the 7 comes out, I'll get that. So the 5, I had to charge it up. The SIM card works perfectly. So I took it out of my 6S, put it in my 5. As soon as there was some charging, it took a few minutes. I fired up and made a phone call to my son who was here. He called me back. We texted each other. I was alive and up and running. And that is all I cared about. Texting and cell phone calls. I didn't care about email at that point. That's the most important thing in staying in contact with my clients. Now that I'm up and running, what am I going to do? So last night, before I went to bed, I started looking online on what you can do when you have a phone that just won't charge up, won't show anything. You have to connect it to iTunes with your iPhone cable and try to do a recovery. And I said, well, let me do that. Well, I was shocked that Windows recognized my phone. iTunes read a message. It displayed a message. Your phone's in recovery mode. Would you like to finish this and fully recover to the factory default? So I was like, sure. I have an iCloud backup. I could just recover. That sounds great. I said, hey, wow, I might be able to fix this myself. The recovery failed with an error. You know what? Let's hook it up to my iMac. Different error, but it still failed. But on the Mac, it led me to a link that said schedule to send back your phone or schedule an appointment at the Genius Bar in an Apple store. Now, I have an Apple store not even 10 minutes from my house, so I never go in there. This is the first time. I have a ton of Apple products. It's the first time I've ever had a problem where I've walked in, and I was actually a little early. They said, no problem. Come right here. Sat at a table. Apple tech comes up. Let me see what the problem is. Oh yeah, this is dead. They hook it up to the Mac, get the same error that I got. But an interesting thing they looked at, and I learned this after, and this is a tip for everybody. When they took out, they really closely examined the slot of where the SIM card is and that slider that comes out. They looked closely at that. And I said, you know, that's the wrong SIM card. They said, no, that's okay. That's not what we're looking at. I said, you know, the live SIM card's in my backup phone here. They go away, come back. They said, here's your new phone. You're getting a new phone. I mean, in just seconds. So now it was just setting up the new phone. I'm like, great. Put the SIM card in, fired it up. I entered my iCloud password and they put me on the Wi-Fi. And now I'm sitting there and you have that 15, 20 minutes that you have to wait for your iCloud restore. But I would have had to do that no matter what. We're talking like a 10-minute diagnostic process, no questions asked, and just the phone was immediately replaced. Now, remember, this phone is under a year old because the 6S hasn't even been a year. While I'm waiting, there's a gentleman with a problem beside me where his phone's not turning on. It's a different tech, and I noticed something when they open up the SIM card, and they examine the slot for the SIM at the SIM card. Here's what they're looking for. I said, sir, did you drop this in water? Did it accidentally fall water or something? He said, no. They take it back. They come. They bring the phone back to him. And they show him there's a stripe inside the slot where the SIM card goes. That if that stripe changes color, they absolutely know that it was put in water. And therefore voids the warranty. Now, my phone wasn't dropped in water, so clearly they just replaced it. But the lesson here is you can't outfox them. If you come in thinking that you're going to be able to get away with that it was dropped in water and that's what damaged it, they can tell. And they have this little stripe. I never knew this, and I guess it's probably somewhere online. Now, this gentleman had the choice of paying $299 for a replacement phone. He had a 6S also. But he's also, I didn't know the phone carrier he's with, but he said he has he pays for the maintenance or whatever it is for the protection, and it's only the deductible. So it's going to be like $100 or something for the deductible for the phone. So he would go that route. And he just got up and left. But interesting lesson and a story here. While I was waiting, I talked to the tech and said, the keychain feature on your iPhone, when you save it, it's supposed to save all your passwords. Then when you do a restore, you have all your passwords and you don't have to go into the sites and enter everything, especially all the apps. I said, I noticed that on my mail, some of the apps, it doesn't save all the passwords for the keychain. Is there an explanation? And the tech said, you know, I don't know, but let me go back and ask. He comes back. If you are connected to a hosted Exchange server, it will never remember the password. It doesn't. So if you're connected to Exchange, you have to know your password in order to connect. It won't recover the password. Just another quick tip. While we're talking about Macs, this Sunday before, a client came over with their new BlackBerry Priv, which I got a chance to work on, which was very cool. I really liked it. I'm an old BlackBerry fan where, you know, my thumbs still occasionally, I think, look to start typing. Took a year to change from thumbs to index fingers. Well, this new phone, the BlackBerry Priv, is now fully Android, the latest Android version, and it had a drop-down keyboard for your thumbs. It was like the best of both worlds for a smartphone. Even though BlackBerry, I know their numbers up and all they have is government municipalities for their biggest clients, this BlackBerry Priv deserves a look. As I was using it, pretty cool having that keyboard, and the display was awesome, and it was, again, a full Android. So anyway, client brought that for me to set up, and then they also brought a Windows laptop to be cleaned and set up and and their MacBook. So I worked on the MacBook, my son worked on the Windows system, and then while I was cleaning stuff on the Mac, I set up the phone. Let's talk about what did I run on the Mac. Couple things that if you're unfamiliar, in the Apple world, we have a few things on the Windows world that now bleeds over to the Mac world. Malwarebytes has a free app for the Mac. It runs fast. It's great. Works. I ran Malwarebytes. Another program is CCleaner. And CCleaner, it doesn't do the depth of the things that it does on the Windows side, but it does some nice stuff. You can check what's starting up and not start up some things. You can uninstall apps. You can clean up all the temp files and all the junk. Very nice. CCleaner for the Mac. And then here's the other one. It has become my favorite antivirus for the Mac. It is Avast. A-V-A-S-T. Has a nice, clean, free version. Very easy to install and run. I recommend it. Those three links will be in the show notes for anything when you're working on the Mac. I also recommend to verify permissions, repair them if there's a problem. And this, you go to Go Utilities, Disk Utility, check the permissions. That's a common Mac problem. Also, verify the disk. If there's errors, fix them. That's another issue. You got the two built-in utilities for the Mac, the three that I just mentioned. Here's another Mac tip. Did you ever have a problem with a user that has a USB stick or an external drive and they're having problems going from Windows to Mac? The best format, and you do this in Windows, is before you start doing anything between the Mac and Windows, I want you to format the drive as an EXFAT, EXFAT format. That's Extended File Allocation Table. When you do that, you will have an easier time of reading and writing files that you want to transfer back and forth. This is the secret sauce of the formatting of an external disk. Now, if you are doing straight backups from the Mac, I recommend not ever sharing that with another system, and you want the Mac journalized file system for Time Machine. And Time Machine, when you plug in a drive that you're only going to use for backup, it'll come up and say, hey, do you want to use this for backup? And you say yes. And then it'll ask, can it destroy everything and reformat the drive? Say yes. And then it's going to be in the proper format. And then don't ever use that on another Windows system. Only use it for the Mac. So that's my recommendation. Have a drive that you can go back and forth with in that mixed environment. And then have one dedicated just for Time Machine on a Mac. There you go. So that's the Mac tips for the night. Have two clients with an AOL desktop problem. This is amazing. I still see AOL desktop. Yes, they are older clients. Now, this is a husband and wife, and the husband at his office uses Outlook. His wife is at home, gets mail. She does a lot of the bookkeeping, but refuses to move from Apple Desktop. Anytime he sends her an attachment, she can't open it. It comes in as a winmail.dat file. Now, you may see this problem other than Apple Desktop. If you're getting a winmail.dat, that means someone from Outlook is sending you a file and it's not, and the actual format of the message is not plain text. If it's HTML or rich text format and your receiving email client cannot interpret it properly, it will put it as a winmail.dat extension, which you won't be able to open or do anything with. The minute I had him resend that message, only this time pick the format for that particular mail message and set it to plain text, that attachment worked beautifully. Can't believe, had two clients. One of them was my big client that someone in the engineering department was trying to send PDFs to a customer. And would you believe the customer is using AOL and was complaining of this? It also solved the problem there. Big tip when you get windmail.dat files, make sure the person sending it is using plain text as the format. You can then attach any file as long as it can legally go through the mail system. And certain extensions could be blocked by the antivirus or by the mail program, or even Google blocks certain extensions. A couple weeks ago, I described how I had to disable the user account control of a couple Windows 10 machines in order to get this particular client software installed. Well, I left the system in that state. When I returned, my laptop and another computer here, I went to my laptop and you know what? I couldn't launch any Windows 10 apps. I could run the programs, but I couldn't launch any of the Windows 10 apps. I would get that this administrator doesn't have the permissions to be able to run the app. Guess what you have to do? You have to re-enable UAC. You have to go in and just go to the first notch, reboot. That fixed my problem. But it was driving me crazy. And I tried a lot of other things that I found online. They did not work. So if you disable UAC in Windows 10, and this is, you know, some software requires it. So I had to disable it. You install the software, but don't forget to turn it back on when you're done. And that software still works. Just another interesting Windows 10 tip. A link here, courtesy of Mike Cooley, Taz Cools in the chat, our moderator. 5 free tools to fix any problem in Windows 10. Great link. One is Driver Booster, but remember to untick any of the unwanted boxes during installation because its parent company, IOBit, tries to covertly add bloatware. Okay, so make sure you have Unchecky installed. Fix Win 10. I've never seen that, so I'm going to look at this. This is from the Windows Club. Lots of really good tips here. Ultimate Windows Tweaker 4, very nice. Mist Features Installer 10, another utility. O&O Shutup 10, talked about that on our last show. Great security utility. Great tips here, courtesy of Mike, and I thank him for contributing that to the show. These tools should definitely be added to your USB stick as you support Windows 10. While I was traveling, I received an email from the president of one of my clients requesting the browsing history of an employee. What did I do? I remoted in when I got back to the hotel room, and the first thing I run is browsing history view by one of our favorite sites, NIRSOFT, NIRSOFT. This is a handy dandy little utility that you can run and it will check all the browsers and give you all of the history. I was able to export it, all the history, for any length of time that you specify. So I asked my client, how many days do you want to go back? And the client responded, 14 days. It's perfect. I did 14 days. I exported, got a file, sent it to my client. Now, the file, let's just say, oh my God, and we can't discuss it on the podcast. And that should be a warning for anybody, and I said this in the pre-show. If you are working for somebody else and you don't own the company, you must be careful where you're browsing. And if you think you cleaned it, guess what? I got utilities that will get every place you've ever been. So this is just one basic one that I'm sharing. There are forensic programs that no matter what you do, you can't hide. Only go to work-related sites on a work computer. Just remember that. That worked out, and if you ever need that type of utility, there you go. There's so much more to talk about, and I'm running out of time, but I have to cover this. We're not going to get to email tonight. I can't believe over the last couple weeks, I actually ran into 2 Windows 98 computers. Unbelievable. So the first client was a contractor, and he had this old Packard Bell Windows 98. there's no reason in the world that this system should still be running. I think we looked at this and it's 20 years old, this computer, and it's still chugging along. So here's what my client did before. It's now a client. This person was not a client. It was a great referral from my BNI chapter where he thought to help improve performance, because it was getting kind of slow, the Windows 98 system. He had a Windows 2000 CD. He put the Windows 2000 CD, upgraded the system to Windows 2000. He did an in-place upgrade and then couldn't find his files for his estimating program. Now he's in a panic. So his grandson is 18 years old and a tech whiz. Went to the computer and after working on it said, your files are gone forever. I've never seen this operating system. The files are gone. I get the referral and I call him up and I schedule time to go out there because I said, did you reformat the system? No. And I described what an in-place upgrade was because he didn't know that terminology and that was okay. I was fairly confident that I was going to get his files back. So when I went out there, the desktop changed and his profile changed. So only certain icons were there. He had Office 2003 installed. And of course it didn't work because he didn't know where the links were for the software. Once I found the link to where the software was, Word came up. Then I was able to find where his files were. Instead of a Windows NT directory, which is now what Windows 2000 created, there was an old Windows directory. And as I navigated through the file manager, I was able to successfully find all of his files. None of them were deleted. It's just like I had another client this week, actually, that upgraded QuickBooks to a newer version, and he couldn't find any of his files. I said that he thought QuickBooks deleted the files. QuickBooks did not delete the files. It just opened to a different directory, and you have to know the directory from where you're pulling the files, and most people do not, at least my clients. They don't look at where they're. They just take it for granted that when they open Word, there the files are going to be there. They don't really know exactly where they are located. My son, Michael Jr., goes to a client, and it's Windows 98, and he's never seen this. But we discussed this before he got there. The client needs a backup. Now, here's the trouble we're having, and I think the USB sticks were too big. It would not read the USB. So this one is on the internet. So I gave him a website. We have to go back there. So I'll let you know what happens here. He has to go back there and try to download the drivers for Windows 98 to see if we can get the driver for that USB stick. Or if not, get a small enough USB stick that you then can plug it in and it will recognize it. And if it can, there's a great program in Windows 98 for backing up your files, and you can pick which, you know, which directories and which files. We want to be able to just back up the files so he can move on. At least this person's moving on to another computer. Now, the first client can't move on to another computer because this program will not work and cannot be upgraded and will not work on a 64-bit system. It will not work on any system. I'm thinking of maybe getting an XP system for him to just put this on. It will never connect to the internet. He just needs to run his estimator so he can estimate jobs. He's a contractor. Very interesting. Never seeing Windows 98 for a decade. And then all of a sudden, in the course of 1 week, seeing two systems with it. That was amazing. Please remember, if you are buying anything from Amazon or know anybody purchasing from Amazon, use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the Mike Tech Show. Also, please support my sponsor, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Download the free trial for 15 days. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro, which I mentioned earlier, I use all the time. Link will be in the show notes. The Computer Business Kit version 3 for all of your forms for your computer repair business or consulting business. And if you need a tech website, Tech Site Builder at TechSiteBuilder.com. There will be no show next week for April 28th. The next show will be Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, Thursday. I will join you then because April 28th, I will be at the Pearl Jam concert. That's it. Thank you so much for downloading and staying subscribed. I'll see you back here May 5th. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.